Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2. 2 Kings, chapter 2. We'll read verses 13 through 15 together. 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. I'll read verse 13. You'll join me on verses 14 and 15. And then I'll read a few other verses to you after we're done with that. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Again, I'll read verse 13. You join me on verses 14 and 15, please. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he shall also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. I'll read three other verses to you. You need not turn there. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse number 8 says, Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Verse 13, But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In verse 15, While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. And let's pray. Father, again, thank you for our church. Thank you for bringing our preacher back to us safely. Father, thank you for the Spirit that's here, the Holy Spirit, and the kindred spirit amongst your people. Now, Lord, would you do something today? There's no way one person could meet the needs of the well over 1,000 people on this property. But you could use your words through your man to meet every one of those needs. Father, please, may we be attentive. May we listen intently to the message that you have for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
My time is a little shorter than usual, and then as a result of that, I'll ask that you sit still and pay close attention. And I'll also admit to this, Brother Bush, I gave you the wrong scripture for the sermon this morning. I either admit that or I have to make up some sort of a sermon to go along with what you read. So I'm just going to admit I gave you the wrong passage of Scripture. I'm going to read to you from 2 Kings chapter 17. If you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to look at three verses and then we'll get to the sermon. 2 Kings chapter 17, starting with verse number 13. 2 Kings 17, 13, it says this, Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by the seers, saying, Turn ye from your evil way and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, which I sent to you by my servant the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers, and did not believe in the Lord their God, and they rejected his statutes and his covenants that he made with their fathers. Look back at me, if you will, please. Today is it's a Father's Day sermon, but I'll have to tell you this, lest you turn me off. Some of you that are not fathers, you're liable to say, oh, great, well, I'm not a father. I'm going to promise you the entire sermon will apply to every person in this house. Though it's a Father's Day sermon, it's going to apply to every lady here. Though this is a Father's Day sermon, it's going to apply to every teenager, every child. All you have to do is listen to the truth, and the truth will reveal itself to how it applies to you. So I promise you, you won't feel left out. You won't feel like, well, went to church this morning, heard a sermon about Father's Day, and I'm not a father. You won't feel that way at all. I'm speaking to the men in a special way today. I think that if I were speaking to a whole bunch of men from out in the world, my subject would have been applied or presented to you in an opposite fashion. I think if I were speaking to the men that are out in the world, the average man in the world today, I would talk about how you need, or those men are anemic. If you're a visitor here today, every once in a while I'm a little opinionated in the pulpit. It's my opinion that the men of today are sissy britches. It's my opinion that the men that are out in the world today, and especially the generation being reared right now, they're soft. Their manhood is anemic. And and everywhere you go, you got men that are henpecked. And I would say, if I were speaking and I had a congregation full of men from the world, I would probably tell them it's time to suck it up and become a man again. And let's give Father's Day the right reputation, instead of in the world today, Father's Day is almost exactly like Mother's Day. They both wiggle when they walk. But now I'm not going to speak to the men out in the world. I'm going to speak to the men here in my church. And you'll see in the Bible, God speaks to us often about the subject that I'll preach today. To our men, let me say, don't become hard. Don't become hard. And like I told you, if I were speaking to a bunch of the sissy britches from the world, we'd just clean their clock today and tell them to stop wiggling when they walk. And there's some men out there that need to run full blast, head with a full head of steam right into a brick wall about five times and learn how to talk and walk and act like a man. But to our men in our church, I want to say to you, you men who are strong men, I want you to be careful that you do not become hard men. Hard men. In 2 Kings chapter 17, it is mentioned three different times. It is speaking to fathers, and fathers are referred to there. And a group of people were told, do not harden yourself like your fathers did. And three times in that passage of Scripture, the warning is given by God that you should not become a hard person. Now remember, men, you're to be strong, but you're not to be hard, and there is a difference. I briefly say this to you. My daddy passed away at 7 o'clock Friday last, 7 o'clock in the morning. A few hours later, I was sitting in the funeral home, which I have sat in the funeral home many, many times. Over 100 times we have conducted funerals in the last 10 years as I've been your pastor. This time I sat there with a funeral director. I was waiting for family to come, and I would lead them through the process of Dad's burial and his service. And I was sitting there. I was all alone with the funeral director. He was a very young funeral director. He was in his early 30s. And I was kind of amazed. As we were sitting there waiting to conduct a meeting, he looked at me and he said, Pastor Owens, he said, could you advise me? He said, you've done more funerals than I have. He said, could you advise me about anything that you feel like would be helpful as I am a funeral director helping people who have lost someone that they love? I said, yes, sir, I can. I said, I would recommend that you never become hard in your occupation. Never become hard. I said, you're around death all the time, and if you're not careful, death will become commonplace to you, but it's not commonplace to all the people that are losing their loved ones. And you cannot let your job be a job. Your job has got to be more than that, or you will be a crummy, cold-hearted funeral director. People will tolerate you instead of enjoy you, and they'll just put up with you. He said, boy. He said, are you so right? He said, I have been around the man that ran this funeral home for years. He was cold and hard for many, many years. Just did a service to people. He said, sometimes he was as hard and cold as the people that we had put in those boxes. And I said, don't let that happen to you. I told him, I said, life is hard. And if you're a real man, you'll stand strong. You'll be different than so many. There'll be times when you'll have to take a stand and you'll have to do what's right. But I said, never become hard. Never become hard. And I began to quote some scripture to him. I left there and I thought, boy, you know, this has been on my mind. I'll share with you today a sermon that God kind of put together in the funeral director's office in my mind and in my thinking. It's called Fathers Harden Not. Fathers harden not. In Hebrews chapter 3 verse 8 it says, harden not your hearts. In Hebrews 3:15 it says, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. In Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13 it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Three times in this chapter we see God speaking of the Christian becoming hard. Hebrews 3:13 tells us that we become hard as a result of the deceitfulness of sin. Hardness sneaks up on us. Hardness slithers into our attitudes and our behaviors. And folks, we live in a hard world. And especially you men that are Christians, you men that you're what we would call, Brother Jones, we'd call it old school. If you're what we call old school, you take the tough route, and it doesn't bother you to take the tough route. I'll tell you this, you have to be careful while you're old school and you take the tough route that you do not become hard. That you do not become hard. Hey, listen, hard-working people, if they're not careful, will become hard people. Those who have faced hardship can become hard in attitude. And folks, I want you to be strong through your hardship, but I do not want you to become hard because of your hardship. One thing I have worked at in my ministry is I've faced difficult times, but I've tried to not allow the difficult times to make my heart hard. I don't want a hard attitude. I want to be tough as I go through tough things, but I don't want to become hard as a result of going through tough things. Those who have accomplished that which is hard, if they're not careful, they'll become hard people. When we use the word hard here, it is a negative behavior. A hard heart is wrong opposed to a soft heart, which is right. A hard attitude opposed to a pliable, moldable attitude. And a pliable, moldable attitude is that which God wants from Christian men. Maybe you were raised around hard people, so it's always been your way, but let me tell you this, that does not make it right. What the Bible teaches is what we're supposed to be. And the culture from which you came, or the environment in which you were reared, you say, well, that's just the way I was reared. You're not to be more loyal to your raising culture or your raised up environment than you are to the Bible, which means this. You say, I was just raised in a hard way. I am therefore hard. Then you are to change you. Your loyalty to your upbringing never should come before your loyalty to the Word of God. And God said, men, we are to be strong, but we are not to be hard. There's a difference in being strong and being hard. There's a difference in being bold and being hard. There's a difference in being courageous and being hard. I say to everybody in this building today, you're to be strong, but not hard. Are you hard? Are you becoming hardened in heart, hardened in mind, hardened in your stiff neck, hardened in your thinking? Simple thought, but I say to the congregation and especially the fathers today, I just call the sermon, Fathers, Harden Not. First of all, may I recommend to us that we understand that you harden yourself. You harden yourself. Job chapter 9 verse number 4 says, he is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself. Who hath hardened himself? Folks, just so you know, having a hard heart is a choice. Say, I was born with a hard heart. You were born with a sinful heart, but not with a hard heart. If you have a hard heart today, you allow that to develop within you. It's not somebody else's fault that your heart is hard. Now, somebody may have contributed to the potential of your hardened heart, but you made the final choice to allow your heart to become hard. You say, well, I'm hard because of this, or I'm hard because of that. You can blame it on anything you want, but somebody else has been through the identical things that you have been through, and they are not hard, mean people. They are not hardened in heart. They're soft in heart, having gone through the same thing you did. You say, well, what was the difference? You. You harden your own heart. You allow your heart to become hardened. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 22, it says, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Hardened. Here is a story where the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. And one time in the Bible do I see that God hardened a heart, and it was the one of Pharaoh, and each time it was Pharaoh hardening his own heart, and then finally God allowed his heart to become even harder. But let me tell you what happened. In this story of Pharaoh's heart becoming hard, Pharaoh's heart became hard toward the man of God. That was the first thing. And not because I'm the man of God, but I am going to tell you, men, you want to be very careful letting your heart become hard toward your spiritual leader. Don't let your heart become hard toward the man of God. That's what happened to Pharaoh. Then we know that not only did his heart become hard toward the man of God, who at that time was Moses, but Pharaoh became hard toward God's people. Men, again, be careful that you do not become hard toward the people of God. Don't become hard toward the brethren around the church. You need to keep your heart tender and keep your life tender toward the man of God and toward the people of God. And then we find out that Pharaoh's heart became hard toward the God of the people. So his heart became hard toward the man of God and the people of God, and then toward the God of the man and the God of the people. And you need to be very, very careful that your heart and your life and your attitude do not become hard toward God, God's man, and God's people. And it's something you allow. You allow your heart to become hard. And I say to every man here, and in a special way, don't become hard. You say, I'm a man. I want you to be a man. We don't promote sissy britches around here. But there's a difference in being hard and being strong. And there's a difference in being spiritually strong and just strong. Some of you think you're strong, but you're not strong at the ultimate type of strength. The ultimate type of strength is spiritual strength. But I say, number one, hardness, men, in our lives, we choose it. You choose whether you're going to be hard-hearted and hard-necked and hard in attitude. Secondly, could I recommend to you that you do not harden your face? Good. Don't harden your face. Proverbs 21:29, it says, a wicked man hardeneth his face. Here God says, if you have a hard face, he compares it to something that the wicked man does. Folks, did you know that your face is the billboard of your heart? It advertises on the outside what's happening on the inside. You all don't get to experience it, but my life is a life of faces. I spend my life looking into faces. I look into the face of a bride and groom. I look into the face of someone that lies in a casket. I look into the face of a congregation. I look into the face of the world. I look into the face of people constantly. And your face is a billboard.
Yes, sir.
And your face tells you, I only wish that you could stand where I stand and watch the faces. You can watch faces hardening. You watch them harden. And I say to every man here, don't let your face become hard. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 3, it says, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock and have refused to return. Here God actually said their faces are harder than rocks. The Bible tells us, God said, I have stricken them. In other words, he said, I spanked them, but it did not change them. He said, I consumed them. In other words, God started to consume their things. God said, I spanked them. I began to take prosperity from them, and it didn't change them a bit. And I'm just here to tell you that if you're not careful, if you begin to develop this hardness, it's going to show up on your face. Folks, men, did you know there's nothing that is anti-masculine about smiling? Doesn't hurt you to smile. Men of God ought to be men that have the joy of the Lord in their heart. You're not sending a signal to God that you're macho because you never laugh. In heaven, you'll get that frown wiped off of your face. You're not tough because you don't laugh. Matter of fact, you're sad because you don't laugh. You're weak. Men that love God go through life, and though their hearts may be broken, they figure out a way to get on topside and continue in joy and happiness, because that's what we're to do down here in this world. You know, it won't hurt you to laugh. It won't hurt you to smile. But have you decided? I've met men, and I think there's some in this room. You've decided to let no emotion ever be seen on your face. Your face is hard. Do you know that people need to see you smile? Did you know that people need to see in your face that you're human? Did you know that sometimes just a look of compassion and tenderness could make all the difference in the world? Some of you are very lopsided. Somehow you got this macho effect, and somewhere you got trained that macho is to be mean and never laugh and never smile. Well, you're not like Jesus then. Because I believe that you could prove in the scripture that people looked upon the face of Jesus Christ and they knew there was something sweet and special about Him. Can people read compassion in your face? Is your face cold and impersonal? I arrived at my father's hospital room. It was 11 o'clock at night. They had not given him, they were going to give him some morphine because the cancer had eaten its way all the way through this lining of his stomach, and his body was filling with the fluids of his stomach, and it was very painful for him. They said, we'll not give him the morphine. He wouldn't take the morphine until I had arrived so I could spend some time with him while he was still coherent. I got there and I got to spend some time with him a few hours later. They gave him some morphine, and as he was passing, I watched my father's breathing. I watched it until it went all the way down to virtually nothing. And then I felt like in the next 30 seconds he would take his last breath, because I'd been watching the timing of his breathing. My dad went to take his last breath before he went to heaven, and I laid across the bed, put my arms around him. I put my face against his face and I gave him a kiss. As my father was taking his last breath, I said, Daddy, we love you. I love you. And he took his last breath. I'm going to tell you something. The look on his face, even when he was going through a terrible time, it was still a face of compassion. My dad was every bit a man's man and a tough man. They had to take his cowboy boots off of him in the hospital. He was wearing cowboy boots in his bed with his nightgown on. You know, the one that's got the air conditioning back in. Finally, the doctor said, you gotta take the boots off. And I was right up against his face. And my dad was a tough man, but his face was not tough. I felt the tender and the compassion of my father. And men, I need you to understand something. A man can be a man, but yet the Bible says, don't let your face get hard. Be strong, but not hard. Be bold, but not hard. Be able, but not hard. Solve the problem, but don't become hard. And those that face the hardships of life, if we're not careful, will become hard. And God said, I don't want you to be hard. I want you to have all the right qualities in life, but not to be hard. And so I say to you, don't let your heart become hard. Don't let your face become hard. Then let me say, don't let your neck become hard. Fathers, don't let your neck be hard. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. More than one place in the Bible it speaks of the hardening of the neck. Now, so you understand the basic concept of the hardening of the neck is this. We are told that we're to get into a yoke with Jesus Christ. A yoke would have been that was used for the oxen, and there would be a harness that was put around the neck, and that was the yoke. They would yoke up maybe a couple of oxen, and you and I, the Bible says, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. In other words, Jesus was to be in one side of the yoke, and you in the other, and you pull together. And Jesus led us through life that way. And when the Bible talks about the hardening of the neck, it's talking about those who would fight against the yoke. What was the yoke? It was control. The yoke was control. The yoke was leadership. Men, you are to be a leader, but you're not to be such a leader that nobody can control you. You're not to be such a leader that God can't control you, and such a leader that the Bible can't control you. Such a leader that your boss can't control you, and virtually such a leader that even in among spiritual things, you'll not let spiritual leaders control you. Don't become hard of neck. Say, I'm a man! Man knows how to submit because Jesus Christ submitted to His Father in every aspect of the word. The neck controls the movement of the head. A hard neck is the signification of hardened thinking, sinful bullheadedness, sinful stubbornness. Men that know it all won't be told. Hardened neck fathers may produce hard necked children. 2 Kings 17:14 says, notwithstanding they would not hear, but harden their necks like to the neck of their fathers. If you're a hard-necked dad and you won't follow anybody, and you're always opinionated beyond your realm of authority, let me tell you something. Don't you be shocked if your son has a hard time following your instructions. You won't let anybody lead you. God said, be careful now. This thing of being hard-necked, Not submissive to fellowship. You be careful, because it may develop in your children as they watch your example. The Bible says, do not harden your face, men. The Bible says, do not harden your neck, men. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 16 and 17, it says, but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou did among them, but hardened their necks. And in their rebellion, they appointed a certain captain to return into bondage. You know what it's saying there? It's saying that you are like your dad. Your dad was hard-necked. He wouldn't let anybody lead him. He was so strong bull-headed that he minimized the success of his life. He wouldn't let God tell him what to do, the Holy Spirit tell him what to do, the preacher tell him what to do, his boss tell him what to do. He had this concept that manhood was be your own man. No, you're supposed to be God's man. You're to be in submission when it's time to be in submission. And the Bible says, don't be hard-necked. The Bible says it was a result of pride, and God actually called that rebellion. Called it rebellion. I like this. A preacher's walking down a country lane and sees a young farmer struggling to load hay back onto a cart after the young man had dumped it. You look hot, my son, said the pastor. Why don't you rest a moment and I'll give you a hand? No thanks, said the young man. My father wouldn't like it. Don't be silly, the pastor said. Everybody's entitled to a little break. You're so hot, your father won't care. Come and have a drink of water. Again, the young man protested that his father would be upset. The pastor, now losing his patience, said, your father must be a really hard man. Tell me where I can find him and I'll give him a piece of my mind. Well, replied the young man, he's under that pile of hay. You know, the world's concept of strength is tainted. Strength is not meanness. God said, be strong, but God said, don't be hard. Don't be hard. Don't be hard faced. Don't be hard necked. And the Bible says, don't be hard hearted. Fathers, don't be hard hearted. Psalm 95:8 says, harden not your heart. Hardened hearts, so you know, create mischief in the life. Proverbs 28:14 says, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. What's it talking about? Mischief, it's trouble. Mischief has even something to do with the word deception. It's a deceptive trouble. And God is saying here, men, don't let your heart get hard. You are going to be deceived by the devil because of your hard heart. People with hard hearts don't realize it many times. The average person in here, if I said, do you have a hard heart? You would say no. But there are some of you that would say no, your heart's not hard, but everybody would say that your heart was hard. Listen to this. In Mark 8:17, it says, and when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand. Have ye hardened yet your heart? Have ye your heart yet hardened? The Bible says you don't even perceive that your heart is hard. Is your heart hard? You say, oh no, I'm just tough. You can call it anything you want. But maybe it is that you have a hard heart. We, as Christian men, we are not supposed to hide behind strength and then cause the goodness of God not to be seen in our lives. The attributes of the Spirit of God are to show in a Christian man's life. Don't harden your heart, Father. People with hardened hearts, and especially men, especially do men not perceive how hard they are. Men don't see themselves as hard, they see themselves as tough. But you better learn the difference. Men can become spiritually blind as to how hard they are. That's why your wife is often saying to you, she'll be patting you on the arm saying, relax, honey. Men are apt to, where we could in a sentence or two explain something, we're apt to say, no! And your wife says, you don't have to yell. And you say, I'm not! Are you hard? Are you hard? People with hard hearts don't realize it. Men with hard hearts find themselves being deceived by it. They're wrongly convinced that they're always right. You're hard and you don't even recognize it. And let me tell you this. When you do hard things, hardness can develop in your attitude, in your neck, in your face, and in your heart. Because I believe that we have a group of men at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church that do the hard thing. We do the hard thing. We fight the hard battle against Satan, and we fight hard not to be like the world, and we work hard out in a hard place, and we do things different, and we do the hard thing. But while we're doing the hard thing, we can't become hard. Hardened hearts destroy relationships. The Bible says in Matthew 19:8, he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. Here the Bible says it's hard hearts that destroy marriages. Your marriage could be salvaged, but somebody has a hard heart. You say, well, I'm not going to salvage it. You got a hard heart. God said that happens. See, hard hearts get us into mischief. Hard hearts are very deceiving. We want to call them anything but hard. Now we find out that hard hearts destroy relationships. And we're not talking here about the blood pumping organ. We're talking about the seat of your emotions. We're talking about that computer control center that's down inside of you. Hey, are your emotions towards something that's wrong very hard, and you're set in stone that this is what you're going to do, and nobody's going to convince you of anything else, and you're anchored down? You know something, you want to be very, very careful. I think there are some doctrines you ought to be anchored down on, but when it comes to a lot of other things in life, be careful that you've not become hard, especially in some of your sin. I've actually had people, and more in this generation than ever before, do I find people that are doing what's wrong, and they decided that's what I'm going to do. I've had people say to me, I know what I'm about to do is wrong, but I'm going to do it. Boy, you talk about hard. Dangerous to be hard. I want it. This is how it's going to be, and I don't care what happens. That's hard. Let the chips fall where they may. This is how I'm going to behave, and I don't care what God wants. This is how it's going to be. That's a hard heart. You see, God told us, men, that we are to be strong. We're to be bold. We're to be courageous. But he said in all of that, don't be hard. Don't be hard, fathers. Don't be hard, Don't be hard in your face. Don't be hard in your neck. Don't be hard in your heart. And then the Bible tells us not to be hard in our speech, fathers. Jude, verse number 15, says to execute judgment upon all and to convince all there are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches. I think men, we need to work at making sure that how we talk is just not hard all the time. The Bible talks about having grace with our speech. Proverbs 22:11 says, he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. And again, I come back to manhood and I say, men, we can have this tendency to talk mean. Mrs. Owens and I were somewhere just this last week. She asked me a question. I answered it. Her eyebrows raised and she said, honey, please. Somebody's going to think you're yelling at me. And I said, well, I'm not. But men, we have this tendency to be rough. The tendency to be hard. And I'm saying to you, I want you to take a stand. I want you to be bold. I want you to be courageous. I want you to have grit in your call. I don't want you to wiggle when you walk. But I don't want you to be hard, and neither does God. God does not want us to be hard. Are you hard? Are you becoming hard? Is your face hard? Is your speech hard? Is your heart hard? Has your neck hardened to the point where nobody can lead you? You're going to do what you want to do and nobody can give you advice. Is there tenderness in your voice? I'm talking about what we say. I'm talking about how we say it. Did you know that you could be right in what you say but be rude in how you say it? Do you add tenderness to your conversation on purpose? Folks, and so you all know, gossip and backbiting is always hard. Always. Do you speak controlled by the law of kindness? You know, there are men in this room, you know that the law of God tells you you're not supposed to do drugs, and you, if you knew somebody that was smoking marijuana, you would be irate. You'd say that's against God's law. But you break the law of kindness with your mouth all the time. Proverbs 31:26 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. There is a law in God's book that you are to be kind. You pick the laws that, you know, if somebody else breaks particular laws, you've got your pet laws that you get all irate about. You can turn around and break the law of kindness with your mouth towards your wife or toward other people. And that's okay.
Good.
The Bible tells us that we should not harden our speech, not harden our neck, not harden our heart. The Bible tells us we should not harden our faces. And let me say this and I'm finished. Don't harden your mind. Don't harden your mind. Daniel 5:20 says, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride. Are you one of those that you're right no matter what? Is your mind petrified in pride stone? The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Is your mind set like stone against things? And you say, this is how it's going to be. Be careful now. Is your mind hard? Hey, can you think kind thoughts? Can you think generous thoughts? Is everything negative with you all the time? You notice the negative before you notice the positive. You've got something negative to say before you say something positive. You will criticize before you compliment. What's wrong with you? I'll tell you what's wrong with you. You've got a hard mind. Your mind tends toward the negative. Do you always think hard and negative about people and situations? You're hard. And let me say, some of you that could tend to be the hardest are some that have been through the most. You face enough hardship, you get hard. You take military men that have been in most battle could tend to be the ones that are the hardest. And they can tend to be the ones that have the most divorces. And their kids can't stand them. Respect them, but can't stand them. You show me people, doctors that are in heavy duty surgery all the time. I'll show you a bunch of doctors that are divorced and Kids can't stand them. They've been through hard times and they've become hard. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be that way. Now, I know some military men and higher ups that are very happily married that have happy kids. They chose not to become hard. Look at police officers. Are you listening to me? Look at men that are the security down at the prison. If you're not careful, you do hard things, you'll become hard. But the balance that we're looking for in life is that we do the hard thing, but we keep our hearts soft toward our wives and soft toward our children and soft toward our God and soft toward the brethren. You're not a man because you're mean to everybody. Jesus Christ could be beaten within inches of his life with a cat of nine tails and take it all. And he said he spake not a word. Why? He was tough. But he did it because he loved you. He had the balance of manhood and compassion. And I just say to the men at Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church on this Father's Day, don't become hard. Be strong, but don't be hard. It's the balance that God is looking for. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me recommend something to you. You ought to get saved. Well, I couldn't think of something better. A dad, a father, a grandfather getting saved on a day like this. Anybody getting saved today would be a good idea. Anybody. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved. If you are saved, if you listen to everything I just said, there are wives in here, you're hard. There are moms in here, there are grandmothers in here, there are teenagers in here, you're hard. Your heart's hard. And you've allowed it to get that way. You've chosen it. Be careful. Watch your heart now. The sermon was for everybody, but applied specifically to dads. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you died today and you're not sure you go to heaven, you ought to get born again. You ought to get saved today. Is there anybody here that would say, preacher, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I do not know for a fact I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to get saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. I think I need to be born again. I realize that. Pray for me, preacher. I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me? I'm not sure if I die today, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know it, but I don't know it. I see your hand. Someone else, you say, I don't know for a fact I'm going to heaven. God bless you. I see that hand. Someone else, say, I don't know it. I don't know that I'm saved. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Someone else. You say, I don't know that I'm saved. I want to go to heaven. Pray for me. I need to be born again. Anyone else? You say, I raise my hand. I need to be born again. Now listen to me. Those of you that raised your hand, in a moment, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. In a moment, the pianist is going to begin to play. In a moment, the choir and the congregation will stand. In a moment, the men that are sitting on this platform will step off the platform and post themselves down front at the aisleways. If you're not saved, if you raised your hand and said, I need to be saved, or you should have raised your hand and you didn't, you leave your seat, you walk toward the front, walk up to one of the men, say, I want to be born again. We'll not embarrass you, but what we'll do is we'll have someone that is a trained soul winner take a Bible and show you how you can ask Christ to come into your heart and save you today, and you can go to heaven when you die. Those of you that are unsaved, you know what to do, and we'll do it in just a moment. How many people in here today would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart today. I need this thing about hardness. I feel like it applied to me, both men and women and young people and senior citizens alike. You'd raise your hand and say, I've got to be careful. I think I've grown hard a bit. Hard because of the hardness of things. Hard because of life. I grew up in a hard way and I tend to be hard. Hey, be strong but not hard. There's a difference. Be bold but not hard. Many hands were raised, 50, 60 hands. Who else would join these? You said, I should have raised my hand. I should have raised my hand. God bless you. God bless you. Lots more hands up. And men, remember, your pastor loves you. I want you to be a man's man from the time you get up in the morning till you lay down at night. I want you to be a man while you're in bed asleep. But don't be hard. That'll ruin your marriage and ruin your kids. It'll ruin your health. Be strong, but not hard. In a moment, the pianist is going to begin to play, and we're going to start this altar call. Those of you that need to be saved, you come. Those of you that say, God's spoken to my heart specifically about this thing of hardness, maybe you need a moment at the altar. I'll ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed, choir, sing a song of invitation. not hard. If you're not saved, you come. If you're not saved, you come and walk up to one of these men and say, I need to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you have been saved, but you've never made it public, you come. We'll help you to make it public. If you've been saved and never baptized by immersion after your salvation, you come. Maybe you've been saved and you've been baptized and you're looking for a church such as ours to join. If you'd like to come, giving testimony of salvation and baptism after that salvation, you come. Do you need the altar? Maybe you just need to come and say, you know what, I've become hard. There are sins that used to bother me, but my heart is hard and they don't bother me anymore. You used to be rude to your wife and it bothered you, it broke your heart, but it doesn't bother you anymore. If you're not saved, you come. There are many coming for salvation, but you come. The Bible says, harden not your heart, harden not your face, harden not your neck, harden not your mind, harden not your life. Don't let your speech be hard. Courageous? Yes. Bold? Yes. Honest? Sure. Hard? No. Rude? No. Hurt? No. Without compassion? No. Saved, why don't you come and let's take the Bible and show you how to be born again. If you've been saved and never made it public, why don't you come? Some of you, your marriage is a mess right now, and the reason is somebody has a hard heart. Somebody could give God a chance. Somebody could give their wife a chance. Somebody could give their husband a chance. Somebody could give life a chance again, but you won't do it because you have become hard-hearted. You that have been reared in hard situations. You say, my dad was hard. My mom was hard. You better be careful. You better be careful that you learn how to be strong but not hard. I believe pastors are to be strong, but I don't think they're to be hard. There are some pastors that are hateful. I disagree with that. I hate sin and I love people. There are husbands that need to learn to be strong in your marriage, but not hard. Hey, some of you employers, you bosses, learn to be strong, but not hard. Care about the people. Come, let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you've been saved and it's ever been made public, you come. We'll help you to make it public. We have a dozen or so names that are being taken. We'll get to the reading of the names in a moment. We have plenty of time. Keep singing for me, choir. Is your heart hard? from being deceived. That's one of the reasons why the devil wants you hard. He wants you to stay hard so you go ahead and go through with it and do the wrong thing. That's why he's hardening you up. He's afraid if you were tender, you would submit. One more verse, choir. One more verse. Don't harden your mind, Deuteronomy. I'm sorry, don't harden your mind, Daniel 5:20. Don't harden your speech, Jude verse 15. Don't harden your heart, Psalm 95:8. Don't harden your neck, Proverbs 29:1. Don't harden your face, Proverbs 21:29. Thank you, choir. Thank you, folks. Have a